This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Debbie Bennett here.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is Brian Alvarez.
Hey guys, this is Chaz McKinsey.
This is Tyson Gibbs.
This is JXC, the social media superstar.
This is the maniac, the leader of the Bullet Clique.
This is the Jurassic Punk, Sid Parker.
This is Charlie Evans.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Grim.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce.
G'day, this is Big Brody Marshall.
Welcome to the show. Josh Armour here, introducing this episode of Where the Action Is on the Wrestle Radio Australia podcast network. Today, it's all about International Assault, presented by World Series Wrestling, and the man behind it all, the promoter Adrian Manera, is here to give us the lowdown on his background, the beginnings of World Series Wrestling and International Assault, as well as details on the upcoming tour, which is, well, it's about to take place right now. We're on the eve of International Assault, and also some pretty cool news was released this week regarding International Assault 2K18. The Briscoe brothers are heading down to Australia for that, so I know a lot of ROH New Japan fans are going to be stoked to see the Briscoes down under. But today, let's get into this episode with Adrian Manera and host Todd Eastman. Here with the goods. We will be back at the end to wrap it up. Cheers.
How are you today, sir?
Fantastic, mate. Excited to be here.
Have you always been a fan of wrestling, or is it just something you sort of you latched onto, or what's like from a kid, or what's the deal?
No, dude. I've been a fan since the Hulk Hogan era back in, you know, the early 1980s. Yeah, it's just, and I'm loving where it is right now. The fact that you've got the WWE, the whole NXT thing, this phenomenal world takeover of, you know, the indie scene, a great time to be a wrestling fan, you know, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, a very small part of it.
Yeah, no, I'm actually glad to be talking to someone who actually remembers the Hulk Hogan era. Everyone I've seen to be interviewing later is like, oh, how'd you get into wrestling? Oh, yeah, see, during the Attitude Era, it was really good when I was a kid, and I'm like, oh, I'm so old.
Yeah, no, tell me about it, dude. Tell me about it, you know.
Yeah, so were you more like the WWF, or was it NWA, WCW, that sort of thing? Or has it been like a lot of people where the network sort of opened you up to that era?
No, to be honest, man, I was always WWF, you know, a devout fan. You know, I was a big Hulk Hogan fan. And as I got older, out of my, you know, 6, 7, 8-year-old ages, turned into, I used to love Kurt Hennig. Then obviously Shawn Michaels, all of that sort of stuff. They were my favorites growing up. And then being a kid in Australia, to even watch wrestling was very hard. It wasn't around. You'd go to the odd video store trying to get a video. You know, you'd get all the magazines, be desperate to try and, you know, to try and hunt down a magazine. Obviously no internet back then, and just trying to keep up with what was going on. You know, you heard about the NWA, you heard about all these different, you know, regional promotions, but you never really saw anything. You know, you knew there was something happening in Japan, you know. So WCW really came full flight with the whole NWO thing. And then obviously the popularity just spread here in Australia, and obviously the TV stations got behind that. And as a fan, I was still very passionate WWF fan back then. And and obviously I appreciated what was happening in WCW. And then obviously with ECW as well, was a great time to be a fan, you know. And like it is right now too, I guess, you know.
Yeah, see, kids just don't understand nowadays how hard it was to be a wrestling fan. Back in those days. I remember because I'm originally from Adelaide. And I used to go down to Noarlunga Library because they had all the old Inside Wrestlings and the Pro Wrestling Illustrateds, so you could borrow them out. So that's the only way I found out about the Freebirds and the Four Horsemen and all of that sort of thing, was by reading these books.
If only I knew this library existed.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like videos were just like, I worked in a video store and I had to beg the manager at the time to start getting in like Extreme Championship Wrestling videos. Back when it was.
And how cool were they?
My God. I've actually still got a few of the VHSs that I bought off the video store when I left.
Yeah, me too. Wham, bam, body slam and all those kinds of things.
I miss those. Yeah, I really miss those.
primary school going to my local Target retailer. They weren't even action figures. Those big rubber figures, you know.
Yes.
And as the popularity waned, obviously, they weren't there anymore. You know, then you might be able to, the WWF magazine, you used to be able to order the merchandise. Used to fill in like a form and send it off. Like it was crazy. The lengths that we had to go to engage.
I remember during the WCW, NWO, that sort of era, my friend lived in America for 6 months. And when he came back, he brought like a swag of shirts and like merch for me. And like, you never saw any of this stuff. I was in heaven. It was like a myth. Yeah, exactly. It was like, wow, Hitman sunglasses. Yes.
I've only ever seen them. It's incredible.
Not as comfortable as what you'd think.
Back then, it was to be a fan, you were like a fanatic. Like, it was hard. Like, it wasn't easy to be a wrestling fan back then. And obviously, a lot of kids at school, not wrestling fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely the minority. But anyway.
All right. So, what made you transition from being a fan into being a promoter or to even think about, I can get some guys from the States out here and run my own show? Because you just don't. I think sometimes about starting a promotion or running, but I wouldn't even dream about trying to get guys from the States. What made you think I can get this done?
Well, it's. I started promoting when I say young. I think I was quite young, so I was 20, and I put on my very first wrestling show. I was at university, you know, studying or whatever I was doing, and I thought to myself, "Wow, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm sure there's other wrestling fans out there," and it wasn't around. Like, you couldn't, you know, it wasn't a lot happening. So I sort of thought, you know what, let's see if we can try and start something. It was dormant. It was still happening, you know, but I just sort of wanted to be a part of it. So I thought, let me try and start my own promotion. So it was back in 1999, and I ended up turning 21, I remember. But anyway, and the very first show was called Ultimate Championship Wrestling, and the show itself was called Wrestle Rage. And I hired the Feberden Theatre, and I almost sold it out, to be honest.
Jeez, just that and, small.
yeah. Well, I just sort of thought, you know what, it was the home of wrestling in Adelaide for, like, you know, generations. So
yes.
I thought, let's just have a crack. So anyway, I did, and it ended up going quite well. The actual event, I think, in hindsight, was the shits, but at the time, you know, it was okay. And collection of Australian wrestlers, you know, from Sydney and Melbourne and Adelaide, and they all sort of combined into this show. And then they progressively got better, I think. And that's when I sort of met, you know, guys like TNT, Lobo. They were sort of on my first shows and continued through. Well, I did them for like over a couple of years. You know, Jason Helton. And also there's a guy who's still around today who wrestles under a mask called Marvel. I'm not sure if I'm giving anything away.
Oh, but, wow.
So I sort of did that for a few years. Wrestle Rage, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And, you know, we had the ultimate death match between, you know, Lobo and Jason Helton. And we stacked tables up and barbed wire and all this kind of stuff, because that was sort of the genre back then. And and then I just sort of got busy with, you know, work and stuff. So I sort of paused for a couple of years. And then I thought, you know what, let me have a real good crack at trying to do this properly again. And I was a little bit older by this stage. I was about 25, maybe 26 actually. And what actually ignited it was I was in New York. And I happened to bump into Christy Hemme, bumped into her in the airport, and I noticed that, you know, I recognized her, and I sort of went up and had a chat to her, and I thought, oh, you know what, there must be a sign. I've got to get back into the whole promoting thing. So when I came back, I thought, you know what, let's have a shot here. So I've created, you know, World Series Wrestling, and I did the very first International Assault, went hell for leather, and hired out some big venues in Melbourne, Sydney, and Newcastle, and sort of, you know, brought out guys like Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Dudley Boys, Nathan Jones. He did his final matches in his wrestling career on our shows or my shows, whatever. yeah, you know, Frankie Kazarian. And also it was a platform for, you know, guys like TNT and Lobo again, and to sort of get a little bit of extra exposure, maybe to a different audience that may not have seen him previously, Gail Kim and all different, you know, Rhino. All different characters on the shows. And, so we did that, did a couple more and took a break, and now back again. So.
Yeah, I was going to say it was just the break because it was time to sort of focus on the work side of life and that sort of deal, or was it?
You know, Yeah, it was a little bit of both. So what happened, if you want me to get into the nitty-gritty, the very first tour I did back in 2005, we drew some really, you know, it was really good crowds. I think we sort of had, from memory, you know, maybe 2,500 people or 2,300 people or something like that in Melbourne, you know, close to 2,000 in Sydney. And I think even in Newcastle we had maybe 1,600 or something. So they were reasonable crowds. Mm. And what really happened was the WWF back then, probably still to this day it was the case, I don't think they liked the idea of someone coming in to their sort of territory and using all this sort of top-tier talent. So what had happened was they'd come earlier in the year. They'd sort of done a tour in April and it was very successful for them. And I sort of had announced our tour and they've announced, oh, look, we're coming back to Australia. And they announced their tour sort of 3 weeks after mine.
Ah.
So that sort of took the wind out of my sails a little bit, you know. And since that date, they've never ever toured twice in 1 year. They've only ever toured once, you know. So that was sort of just like a kick in the guts. So that, you know, World Series Wrestling, who knows, it would have been on that scale continuously from there on after. But because of that sort of knockout punch in the early rounds, it sort of, I can't compete on such a level, you know what I mean, to sort of take them on. So I just, you know, I sort of just sort of stepped back a little bit. And then, then I sort of like, you know, 18 months later, I returned and I sort of partnered up with TNT and his AWF promotion. And we did International Assault. That's where I first met Austin Aries and he toured then as well. And we had Billy Kidman and Kid Cash and, you know, all these, you know, different characters. And then I did another one after that with, you know, Heidenreich and Masato Tanaka. And yeah. And then after that, I just sort of thought, you know what, I'm getting a little bit older now. It's time to have a family and whatever. So just family life took me away from the game. And now I sort of thought, you know, my son's sort of into wrestling now, probably because of he has no choice. And I thought, you know what? And I'd sort of told him, oh, look, you know, Dad, you know, met AJ Styles and he wrestled for Dad, you know. Oh, what do you mean? Like, you know, and Samoa Joe and, you know, they couldn't comprehend. He saw the old merchandise or the old DVDs and stuff, but just couldn't quite click. So I sort of thought, you know what?
I'll show you.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that. And because he'd really enjoyed it, see if we can do something here in Australia properly. Not saying it's not proper at the moment, but really try and, I don't know, just become a platform that we can bring some of these world-class athletes because there's so much talent in the world right now. And it's not just, oh, look, it's the Americans. Like on the Australian scene now, the guys are just phenomenal. Like I'm really so impressed.
Yeah. So when you took the when you took the sort of the breakaway from promoting, did you sort of get into the local product then, or was it just sort of like when you got back when your son started taking interest again, you're like, oh, I'll try and take you to a show?
To be honest with you, I've always kept my eye on in Australia and obviously in America and Japan. I'm a fan, so I've always kept my eye on what's happening. And I would go to shows. I wouldn't go to every single, you know, local show, but definitely I'd sort of go, you know, two or three times a year. I'd go to like I'm based in Adelaide, so I'd go to sort of a Riot City show or it's this Wrestle Rampage now, but I had a different name, EPW or whatever. So I'd sort of go check them out. You know what I mean. So I knew of what was around, and I'd keep my ear to the ground and eye on the prize, so to speak. And I was really amazed. Like you could just see the dedication that the guys were putting in compared to, you know, 15 years ago. Or I'm not saying that they weren't dedicated back then, but it just seems like, you know, that they're really working out in the gym every day. They're building up their bodies. They're looking the part. They're training. Their cardio. All of it. You know. And I think I just sort of thought, wow, you know, these guys really deserve to be noticed. Let's try and bring some of these top international guys to Australia, and rather than just have, oh, look, there's 20 Americans and they're all wrestling each other, great. But I thought, you know what, I'd love to see Robbie Eagles fight Zack Sabre Jr., so let's do it, you know what I mean?
Or
why shouldn't Adam Brooks fight Austin Aries? Who said he can't? I'd love to see it. Let's do it, you know what I mean? So the show is as much of for the fans and for me too. Like I just sort of think, you know, let's put on some great matches. Let's make fans in America or fans in Japan put their eye on Australia. And I'm sure they're doing that more and more with guys like Jonah Rock and Adam Brooks who are going to California. And there's so many others that have gone to England recently, and obviously Demi Bennett over in the US. And this is just another little avenue, I think, that hopefully you know, might just bring an extra pair of eyeballs on our country and on our scene and on our talent. So
yeah. So was that the idea behind? Was like, because I'm not bagging them at all. When House of Hardcore came down, they worked a lot with local promoters, but they never really mentioned any of the local promoters. Do you know what I mean? So they were in Adelaide and they worked with RCW, but they never really mentioned that they were working with RCW, or up here they worked with AWA. And you've been doing it a lot differently, where you've actually been promoting those feds as well. Was that always the idea?
Absolutely. I mean, I World Series Wrestling wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Riot City Wrestling, for PCW in Melbourne, for the AWF, Nui Pro, PWA in Sydney, you know, the guys up in Queens. Like, it's just, you know, if you're going to build a mountain, you know, build a skyscraper, you need a foundation, you need troops, you need, you know what I mean? And to make something great that people want to be a part of, that people want to come and see and come back again and again and again, you know, you want to, I don't know, you just want to build an army, you know what I mean? And to do that, you need the best captains, lieutenants, you know what I'm trying to say? And that was always my vision. I mean, I'd watch RCW shows, I'd watch Wrestle Rampage shows.
Yeah, to be honest, that's the first thing that attracted me to this brand, World Series Wrestling, is because you were promoting the local guys, because I'm hard and fast a local wrestling fan. I'm in the business. Anything I can do to promote it, I will do it. And to see someone with a bigger platform, not so much a bigger platform, but because you're bringing over these guys like Ricochet, Austin Aries, Zack Sabre, there's going to be more eyes on the project. Yeah. And if I have them, if they happen to, they go to a World Series Wrestling a show and they see Adam Brooks or Jonah Rock, they go, I wonder where they wrestle in Adelaide, or I wonder where they wrestle in Melbourne.
Absolutely.
And to me, that's like, well, as far as I'm concerned, because we don't normally promote anything international, because we try to stay Wrestle Radio Australia, try to stay very Australia. Mm-hmm. To me, this encompasses Australia, because you're trying to build the local industry as well.
100%, mate. I mean, you know, like, well, you know what? I'm not, actually, I don't even know if I should say this or not, but when someone else comes in, like even WWE, when they come in, they basically, I call it a rape and escape. You know, so I don't know if that's politically correct to use that terminology or it's a pump and a dump, but basically they come in, the last two in WWE came, same matches, repeat. You know, I know that they're whatever they are, and maybe other touring promotions come in and they're just here for a quick buck, use their name and whatever, whereas I hope that this one here is different, because I am genuinely trying to build the whole scene, you know, across Australia, you know. And I think that the wrestlers are coming there. It's a work rate. Like, the wrestlers that are coming are here to work. Like, they're not here to holiday and look at kangaroos and then wrestle for 10, you know, for 5 minutes that night. Like, they're here to wrestle and put on a kick-ass match and a world-class match. And I think the wrestlers really will be putting their heart and soul on the line, you know. And, like, I know here in Adelaide, like, I'm excited to watch Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jonah Rock. Like, I think it's going to be amazing. Like, it's going to be an epic battle. I know Zack Sabre Jr. is chomping at the bit for this match. Like, he requested it, Jonah requested it, and I thought, who am I to stand in the way? Let's hammer it out in Jonah's hometown, like, you know. And it'd be great that the Adelaide faithful come and support.
It's a great clash of styles that just work, those two.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't always, but it's going to be fantastic. You know, then you got guys like Brian Cage, who is just a beast of a man. Like, you know, just to physically see someone who's so jacked up, such a specimen, you know. And also too, like, I'm a fan for the last whatever 30 years, so to even have someone like an X-Pac come out, who I saw as the 1-2-3 kid when he beat Razor Ramon on Monday Night Raw, to his evolution, you know, to his storied career, it's gonna be great to be able to see him live, you know. And even just to watch the whole, you know, the crotch chops and the music and the Bronco Busters, that's gonna be fantastic, you know. Then you got guys like the Headbangers, who had a great run during the Attitude Era, that, you know, have been around for a while now. They've popped up on SmackDown maybe a year ago or so. You know, those guys are super keen to come out to Australia, you know.
Yeah, but they're still active on – they're still very active on the indie scene. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, they're not going to come over here and bludge. They're here to put on a great show, and they want to make a mark. Like, they want to come back. Like, you know, International Assault 2K18, all these guys have already expressed interest, saying, hey, you know, I've heard you want to – you know, we're running again. we want to be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. That sort of brings me to my next question. It's sort of like, from what I see, your ticket sales for this tour have been amazing so far. I keep seeing like only 120 seats left here or 50 seats left at this one. Were you expecting such a massive response for this?
Booking all the talent, I sort of thought, you know what, who do I want to see? Like, who do I want to see? Of course I'd love to see, you know, I don't know, AJ Styles again or whatever, but I can see him on TV every 5 minutes, you know? You know what I mean? I can see it. I can see a 10-minute clip of Ricochet on Twitter, but I'd love to see him live, you know? So let's get him. I'd love to see Zack Sabre Jr. You know, I saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic. I've never, you know, his submission moves made me cringe. You know, I thought, gee, was, you know, my goodness gracious, let's see him live. So I really wanted to get talent that me personally, I wanted to see perform, you know, and I think a lot of the Australian fans have obviously must feel the same way because ticket sales have done really well. Like Adelaide's doing really, really well. There's sort of only like bronze seating left. Sydney's a bigger venue. But again, you know, I'm just going from memory, like 100-odd seats left. I think Brisbane's down to like 70 seats. You know, it'd just be nice to have some packed houses, just some great atmosphere that even when the wrestlers come out, they feel jacked, they feel pumped up. Out they come, crowd's excited. It makes them perform more. It makes them lift. It makes them, you know, it's not an empty basketball stadium where there's 20 fans. Are they really, you know? They're only human beings. Once the music hits, their adrenaline kicks in. They want to, you know, steal the show. Was I hoping that tickets would do this? Of course I was hoping.
Because you're hoping,
I was quietly confident. But in saying that, you never know. Like House of Hardcore were just here. WWE were just here. Like, you know, is that enough for wrestling fans? I might think, oh, I've already seen enough wrestling this year. I'm not interested, you know. So there's a kind of, you know, doubt in your mind as well. But really, if people come out and support the tour, which, you know, a majority of fans have, which is really positive, you know, as I announced the other day, like, here's the new logo for 2K18. And that's not like a pipe dream 12 months time. Like, the dates are set and it's just around the corner, you know. So and the names that I've already signed, I'm super excited. Like, I just thought, wow, one particular signing, I won't say what it is or whatever, but I never thought they'd ever come to Australia.
Ah, such a tease. During the tour, you're crowning a champion, so I'm guessing that means that aside from this tour and the next tour, you're planning to not go away anytime soon.
And absolutely, mate. I'm here for the long haul, so my kids are cool. I don't have to parent. Like, I'm focused on World Series Wrestling, so I really want to be running shows across Australia, maybe even into New Zealand, you know, every 3 months or something like that, and really incorporating more and more Australian talent and international guys at the time. Like, I really just want to keep it rolling. Like, I look at, you know, companies that seem to be doing this kind of thing in England. You've got your Rev Pros and your Hot Cultures and all these sort of companies, or Defy, whatever they're called now. You know, they're running regular shows, and all of a sudden now, you know, the Zack Sabres, the Will Ospreys, the, you know, all these stars from England, they've all just emerged in the last few years, you know, and I don't see why a similar, you know, regular touring show can't bring stars more to the forefront, like a Chris Basso or a, you know, Next Level Tag Team or a Caveman Ugg or whoever. Caveman Ugg, just to use him as an example, you know, he's wrestling in Sydney. He's fighting Brian Cage, the Machine. You know, Brian Cage goes, oh, hey, how had you go in Australia? Fantastic. I was this talent that I worked with in Sydney. He was you know, amazing. Oh, wow, who's that? They'll check him out. And heaven forbid, you never know. We might see Caveman pop up at Wrestle Circus or at a PWG or whatever. You know what I mean? So,
Or they're backstage and they just happen to click as friends, sort of thing. And look, here's my contact. Get over here. I'll find you some places to work. That sort of stuff. I mean,
absolutely, mate.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, it's a big industry, but really it's a small industry. And once you get a few opportunities, it's up to the wrestlers then to sort of seize them and you know, go to that next level, you know? So, yeah.
And that's what I've been saying this for ages, is that all the guys here need is an opportunity or a platform, and they'll get noticed, and hopefully they won't – well, not hopefully – they won't be around around the local Steve for long, because someone will take them up and make a big star out of them. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, well, the talent is there. It's obvious. Like, you know, I was at the RCW show the other day. Like, honestly, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Like, they were all so talented, and the quality of talent had gone up significantly since I was at one previously, you know. So even as a fan, watching that was great. you know, and there's so much fresh talent that they're training. It's excellent, you know. And, you know, I saw clips the other day of Lucha Fantastica in New South Wales. Fantastic. Like, it's just so entertaining. Such talented people. There's no reason why these guys can't thrive overseas, you know, really. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of. I'm passionate. Like, I'm a passionate fan. I'm passionate about the business. And I just think enough is enough. It's time to you know, not so to get on with it, because everyone's getting on with it. You know, people are running shows every week and they're, you know, doing it very well. And hopefully this might raise an extra couple of eyebrows. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I do really like is that you haven't left the girls out by bringing Tessa Blanchard over. So, and not to bring just two girls out who will work the same match in every state.
Oh, it's no, not at all.
No, it's Tessa working a different girl from Australia in a different state every night. To me, that is awesome, because that's something that's in Australia. I mean, we've had girls. Well, we've got we had three girls in the WWE system. Now we've got two, but they really had a massive platform to show what they can do, and hopefully matches with Tessa will get out there and people will see these girls like Sophia Morales. Yeah,
all of them, dude. Absolutely. Your Shazza McKenzie's, your Indies, you know, your Savannah Summers. I mean, you know, Tessa's like a social media queen. Like, she's on everything. Every minute there's, like, you know, she's doing something. Her matches here in Australia, you know, she has a big following. People are going to see all those guys, you know, all those girls, I should say, you know, like, they're going to see those matches. She'll be filming it. She'll be filming clips of it. I mean, I'm sure she'll be posting whatever. So, you know, they'll be great matches.
I'm going to put you in a spot. What's the match on the tour you're most looking forward to seeing?
there's lots of them, to be honest. In Sydney, I have to say, you know, Ricochet Austin Aries. Just as a fan, I just think Ricochet is, you know, the hottest guy on the Indies right now, or one of the hottest guys, you know. And then Austin Aries has sort of been through a couple of generations, and he's so skillful. Just seeing them both in the ring at the same time, I think, would be fantastic. In Adelaide, I'm actually really looking forward to the Headbangers versus the Basso Brothers in, like, this Texas Tornado wild crazy tag match. I think that'll be a lot of fun and just really visually spectacular. And then, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Jonah versus Zack Sabre, I think that's going to be just off the charts. Even up in Brisbane, I think just Ricochet versus Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, they've wrestled all over the globe. You know, it's going to be probably one of the best matches Australia's ever seen. Like, they just know each other so well. I'm sure they'll just tear the place down. And the atmosphere in the Tivoli Theatre is going to be, you know, just off the charts. So, honestly, if you're up in Queensland listening, you haven't got tickets yet, definitely grab them, because it's going to be just a kick-ass show. And then down in Melbourne, like, there's heaps of great matches, you know. I'd love to see Adam Brooks against Austin Aries. I just think, well, you know, what a fantastic match that's going to be. You also, again, got Ricochet and Zack Sabre Jr. again, you know. And then even, I don't know, a lot of people in Australia know him, but there's a guy, Big Brody Marshall, who's here from Adelaide. You know, just a specimen of a guy, tall, muscular, but can go in the ring. Like, he is super talented. Him against Brian Cage, I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. Like, he's one of Australia's best heavyweights. Like, and he's legitimately a heavyweight. Like, he's a big dude and can go. So, there's so many good matches, honestly.
I actually remember as soon as you announced the signing of Brian Cage, I actually messaged Brody online and just said to him, I said to him, good luck being the biggest guy on the card now, mate. So, nice chance with that dude around.
Yeah, well, he's a beast, isn't he?
So,
he's a beast.
For people listening, how can they get tickets? If they haven't already get tickets, how can they get tickets and get themselves to these shows?
Okay, well, the easiest thing, just if you jump on worldserieswrestling.com and you can grab tickets through there, or that'll take you to, you know, your Ticket Tech if you're in Sydney, or Ticketmaster if you're in Brisbane. But definitely, you know, come along, support the local guys. I mean, you know, when Robbie Eagles comes out for his match, I mean, that's another one I'm looking forward to. When he comes out, I want the whole place to just erupt and give him the reception he deserves. I mean, that's going to be a phenomenal match, you know. So, yeah, you know, yeah, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think come along, support. 2018 will be coming back for sure.
Yeah, so the whole tour looks absolutely amazing. Like, doesn't look like there's a bad match on any of the cards. Once again, thank you so much for joining us, mate. And I guess I'll probably see you at the show, so I might even have a chat to you then.
Yeah, really great talking to you. But enjoy the shows, guys, and International Assault 2K18, I was like 2018. Some big talent already signed. tickets on sale dates and all that coming out very, very soon. So keep checking Facebook for the announcements and thanks for the support.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Adrian Manera, and of course, Todd Eastman. If you enjoyed the show here, please do subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast app. If you are a current subscriber, thank you very much for hanging in there. Of course, we've got great content for those of you who are new to the network. We've got Drawing Heat with Beej and the Dude over in Perth, and of course, plenty of episodes in the archives of not just Where the Action Is, Wrestle Radio Australia, but also Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez and the Axecast with Josh Shooter. Thank you very much to Thunderstag for our theme music. Check us out on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, on Facebook at Wrestle Radio Australia. Please share the show if you enjoyed this. Until next time, my name is Josh Armour. Peace out. International Assault.